7. You ready to press in here with the word?
Yes.
All right, if you have your Bibles, open them up to Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 through 5 we're going to start off with. What a blessing dedicating him to the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Isaiah 60, 1 through 5. Oh, Lord, I release a spirit of wisdom and revelation in this place and upon all those watching online around the world and listening. Hallelujah. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But, say but. Thank God for the buts in the Word of God. Amen. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to your brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around. Get your eyes off of the circumstances in the natural and lift them up. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be nursed at your side. Then you shall see and become radiant. Say radiant. And your heart shall swell with joy. Because, why? Because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the Gentiles shall come to you. Now, real quick, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Oh, I got a good one today. 2 Corinthians 4, 6 through 7. Oh, this is powerful. Here we go. Listen to this. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Whew, you could just meditate, chew on that all for a long time, couldn't you? But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. How many of you know that we as Christians have a piece, a part of heaven living on the inside of our spirit man? Amen. I'm talking about the third person of the Trinity. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. He lives on the inside of us. That is the piece of heaven living on the inside of us. What a glorious treasure, a glorious truth that the helper, the teacher, the counselor, the standby, he is right there with us on the inside. How many of you need his help today? Many Christians take him for granted. And they don't even realize who they have living on the inside of them. What a glorious truth that we can have heaven on earth. I said we can have heaven on earth. Amen? We have that piece of heaven on earth. God has chosen to use his people to be connectors between heaven and earth. If you're a Christian today, you are a connector between heaven and earth. And this world is waiting for you to release the power of God. And they don't even know it. We are connectors because the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us as born-again Christians. Jesus prayed to the Father. He said, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That is still the heart cry and desire of our Heavenly Father. He hasn't changed his mind. It's still his will for heaven to touch earth. In fact, that's the name of my message, when heaven touches earth. When heaven touches earth. And so that's still the heart cry of God. That's still the heart cry of him. And it should be the heart cry and desire of every Christian on the face of this earth. It is the will of God for heaven, for the kingdom of God, to invade every aspect of this earth, every aspect of this world. Every city, every nation shall be shaken with the gospel of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. It's a good place to say amen. 1 Corinthians 3:9 says that we as Christians are co-laborers, fellow workers with God on this earth. How many of you know we need to flush out some evil on this earth? We need to step in that pipeline of evil. We need to step in the way and block that evil. Amen? God has anointed us as born-again Christians to bring forth his power and will on this earth, on earth as it is in heaven. That's got to resound on the inside of you. It's got to resound. I mean, you got to meditate on this thing everywhere you go. God is doing and going to do a work in this place, in this city, in this county, in this region, and around the world that no man will be able to take credit for. No man will be able to do it. It will totally transcend. Listen to me, I'm prophesying this. It will totally transcend human wisdom and human ability. It will be a supernatural move of the Holy Ghost among us. It's going to be so powerful that we're going to be invisible to the world. Think about that. And the only thing they're going to be able to see is Jesus. Come on. All praise, glory, and honor will be given to the Lord Jesus Christ in our Heavenly Father. Only he will be lifted up and exalted. No other person will get the glory. God does not like to share his glory. Amen? Oh, I know it's fun to flow in the Holy Ghost. I know, but you better make sure you're giving God the glory. When those miracles start popping, when the healing starts flowing, you better give glory to Almighty God. Because if you don't, that's a great way to close the valve to the anointing of the Holy Ghost on your life. As we press in and seek the face and heart of God and desire to know him more, he will pour out his glory. His manifest presence will be in our midst. And it's already begun. Anybody feel the presence of God in here today? There's just something different. You're feeling that charge on the inside. You need to take hold of a truth from the Word of God. Our Heavenly Father desires to fill this place, to fill this region in the earth with his glory. He desires to let his fire, the fire, say fire, the fire of his presence fall and burn red hot in this place and in our hearts and wherever we go, to the highways, to the byways. Amen. It's for a divine purpose. Listen to me, not a sideshow. It's for a divine purpose and not a sideshow. Listen to me, that's why Jesus said, he said, you can cast out demons and people will still come to me on that day of judgment and say, depart from me, I never knew you. But I casted out demons, I did all of these things. Yeah, but it was all about you, not him. Oh my, my, my. We got to empty ourselves. Some are not going to take hold of what God's going to do in this place, in this region, and around the world. Some will run away from the fire, then run into the fire. See, we've been trained with fire that you run away from it. Holy Ghost fire, you run into it. Amen? The ironic thing is this. The people that are going to run into the fire are probably going to be the ones who are newly saved. Come on, somebody. Be careful. Yeah, I've been a Christian for 80 years. Be careful. Don't miss the hour of visitation. Amen. Don't miss the move of God because of spiritual pride. Amen? The Holy Spirit fire, the fire of the Holy Spirit, has a way of exposing and revealing the true heart of a person. Amen? Whether they're truly spiritually hungry for a move of God or not, whether they're in it for themselves, for their own ministry, for their own glory, or for God's glory. That's why Holy Ghost fire exposes all of that. But what a glorious encounter it is when the true and living God manifests his tangible presence in our midst. What a glorious experience when the Holy Ghost manifests miracles, signs, and wonders and healing in our midst. Amen? God is omnipresent. I say this all the time. I see new faces, but I got to say it again. God is omniscient, right? He's everywhere all the time. But his presence does not manifest everywhere. You draw his manifest presence by praising him, by being obedient to him, by worshiping him. Are you hearing me? So with that in mind today, I want to talk about what happens. I want to bring up some points today of what happens when heaven touches earth. Are you ready? Here we go. When heaven touches earth, revelation of who we are and what we have in Christ is quickened to us on the inside by the Holy Spirit. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You've got to know who you are in Christ. Amen? And when heaven touches earth, there's a revelation of that. You're no longer the dirty, rotten sinner. No, you start to see the righteousness of Christ living in you. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 10. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But, say but. Love it. God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. Oh, that's so good. How many are hungry in this place? How many are desperate for a move of God? How many are desperate for God to reveal the keys to the kingdom to you? I got to tell you, when I'm in here praying through the week, I pray it every day. Lord, reveal to me the keys to the kingdom. Not just what they are, how to operate in them. How to operate in them effectively. Amen? I want to know. That's where wisdom comes in. Wisdom is applied knowledge. I just don't want to know. I want to apply it. So you, right? Are you following me? Yes. Say wisdom. Wisdom. We need wisdom. Yes. The Holy Spirit reveals or uncovers the glorious promises and benefits that belong to us in Christ. And not only reveals them, like I said, he shows you how to walk in them effectively. I got bad news for all the intellectual people in this place. All you doubting Thomases that require to see to believe, that everything has to make earthly sense to you, the Holy Spirit speaks to your spirit man, not to your brain. Oh, you got to catch that. The Holy Spirit speaks to your spirit, not your brain. See, God says this to us. He said, you must believe before you see. Believing must come before you see a manifestation in the natural realm. The Bible says this. It says, our natural man cannot receive the things of God. In other words, if your natural man can't, what does? Your spirit. You're a spirit being. You have a soul, mind, will, and emotions, and you live in an earth suit, in a physical body. So it's the spiritual part of you that receives. Remember, the blessings through Jesus, the blessings of the gospel through Jesus, Ephesians 1:3, it says they are spiritual blessings. Say spiritual blessings. They are to be believed and received in your spirit before they manifest in the natural realm. So your brain has nothing to do with it. Why? Because faith is spiritual. Faith is spiritual. You need to tenderize and tune up your spirit man. Why do you think we do so many songs during praise and worship? Trying to tune you up. Trying to tune you up. We're trying to get you to become sensitive to the presence of the Holy Spirit. Amen? We're trying to get you in that spiritual mindset so when I'm preaching, you're not falling asleep. You're tuned in. Someone just went like that. We're trying to get you, really, to focus on the Lord during that time, all right? So anything that would dethrone Jesus Christ as Lord of any part of your life, it must be removed. We're entering a time here. I mean, it always has been, but as we're getting closer to these end times, as we're getting closer to this move of God that's getting ready to just be a tsunami around the world in this place, in this area, we have to get rid of everything that is not pleasing to the Lord. Anybody see the movie The Forge? Powerful movie. Highly recommend it. Oh, one thing the individual did was he stopped, he cut the addiction to video games and online social media. Go to John 16. And it changes life. Yeah, that's only a movie. You don't think that really is happening in real life? Come on, somebody. Something has your attention and focus all the time. The question is this, who and what? Something's got your attention and focus, right? It's time to put it back on the Lord. John 16, 12 through 15. Jesus said, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, and that means whatever our Heavenly Father tells the Holy Spirit to tell us, See the chain of command? He will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak and he will tell you, or King James says, show you things to come. He will glorify me for what he will take of my, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things the Father has are mine, Jesus said. Therefore, I said he will take of mine and declare it to you. What an inheritance we have in Jesus Christ. Why are we settling for so much less? Jesus is telling us that the Holy Spirit is going to give us a deeper knowledge, wisdom, and insight and revelation. In other words, he's not going to veer away from Scripture. Hello, somebody. The Holy Spirit will always stay in line with the Word. He will stay in line with the foundation of the Word. But Jesus said, I have many, many more things to tell you. But when the Holy Spirit arrives, when he comes to the earth, he's going to show you those things. Amen? The Holy Spirit's job is to expand our knowledge and understanding and wisdom of the Word. How to apply it to every area of our life and situation. There is so much more our Heavenly Father has for us. So much more power to walk in on this earth. And we need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Amen? And just like any regular teacher, I said this before, I'll say it again. Any regular teacher demands your focus. If someone in high school is goofing off, right? And the teacher's trying to teach, what does the teacher do? Stops teaching. Many are wondering, why am I not hearing from the Holy Ghost? Because you're not focused on him. The teacher demands your attention. You want to hear from him? Give him respect. Give him your focus. Amen? When heaven touches earth, prophecy begins to flow, and the hearts of people are burned that hear it. Now, I'm not just talking about prophecy in a predictive sense. Thus saith the Lord, you're going to get $5 million tomorrow in the mail. Can he do that? Sure. I see that hand over there. Receive it, brother. Someone caught that in the spirit. Now, that's part of it. But here's what prophecy is. Listen to me now. Let's talk a little bit about the prophetic anointing. Prophecy is simply defined as this: inspired utterance from the Holy Spirit. Inspired utterance from the Holy Spirit. Have you ever been in a service and it feels as if the message is aimed right at you? The place, there's other people, but it feels like it could just be the preacher and you and no one else in that room. Anybody ever sense that before? That's the prophetic anointing taking place in that service. Even though many people are there, it feels like God's speaking directly to you. When prophecy or inspired utterance from the Holy Spirit is flowing, those words originate in heaven. Now, the prophetic anointing, the gift of prophecy, it just doesn't have to be someone who stands up here and gives a word to people. It could be you just talking one-on-one with a person. It's me preaching the word from here, inspired utterance. That's prophetic. Are you getting it? Yeah. So it's more than just your little definition of, someone in service stood up and spoke a word. Okay? When prophecy or inspired utterance from the Holy Spirit is flowing, here's what you have to understand. Here's why it's so powerful. Because those words originate in heaven, not on earth. Remember? The Holy Spirit will speak what he hears the Father speaking and to tell us. So when the gift of prophecy, or also called, I'm using the terms or the phrase, the gift of prophecy and the prophetic anointing. I'm using them interchangeably. You get it? All right, so the prophetic anointing is flowing. That means those words originated in the heart of our Heavenly Father in heaven, and they're being passed on by the Holy Spirit to a Christian to speak on earth, all right? Now, this is why when the prophetic anointing is flowing, this is why you can sense an authority, a power on those spoken words. It cuts right to your heart. Have you ever had that before? Someone spoke something to you, and it was the most unspiritual way to say it. It was just in conversation. It wasn't, hold on, let me get you here. Okay. Thus saith the Lord. No, it wasn't that. It was just in normal conversation with someone. There was something different about those words. And it gripped your heart. It got your attention. That's the prophetic anointing on words. That's the gift of prophecy in action. Amen? For the Christian, it's releasing. Listen to this. For a Christian, when we release the words that the Holy Spirit has given to us, it's releasing the atmosphere of our home country. I'm not talking about the United States, everyone. I'm talking about heaven. We're releasing the atmosphere of heaven on earth that we are a citizen of. Does everybody know this, that if you're a Christian, your citizenship is in heaven? You get it, right? All right, this is not some far out thing. This is a truth. This is a spiritual reality. The Holy Spirit gave me something in connection to the prophetic anointing, the power that's on the words of when the prophetic words are spoken. He said this to me this morning. I wrote it down. He said, it's like being away from home and you're homesick and you receive a letter from your mom or dad. You receive a letter from a loved one, and it brings comfort to you. Oh, you didn't hear me. Why does the prophetic anointing touch the hearts of people? Because it's that love letter. It's that letter from God. That it's coming through a human, but it doesn't originate in a human. If it did, it wouldn't be as powerful. Amen? For the unbeliever, what happens when you speak a prophetic word or when you're in under the prophetic anointing speaking to an unbeliever? Listen to what the Holy Spirit told me about this. This is the importance of flowing in the prophetic anointing, being led by the Holy Spirit. For the unbeliever, when they experience the prophetic anointing, it's releasing the power of God that is, for a moment in time, listen to me, quickening the spiritual aspect of that unbeliever, and it's a reminder of their Creator. Amen. Yep. How many in here, before you were saved, someone, a Christian, gave you a prophetic word, or they spoke something to you, and it gripped your heart? Yep. You want to know what happened? It was like the light switch went on for a split second. Like God saying, remember me? I'm the one that created you. Amen. That's, come on, somebody. It turns the light on in their spirit for a moment with revelation of their Creator and His purpose for their life, and it draws them to Jesus. It takes the anointing to draw someone to Jesus. One way to identify the gift of prophecy in operation is by that anointing. Like I said, the anointing, presence, and power that's connected to those spoken words. Now, another aspect to identify the gift of prophecy is determine if those words agree with the Word of God. They got to. If someone speaks something to you and it totally violates foundational teaching in the Word of God, get rid of it. See ya. Thanks. You just wasted your breath. Amen? How many of you know, with how powerful the prophetic anointing is, who's going to try to come in and try to sow division with that? The enemy. The kingdom of darkness. Be very, very careful. Don't just be there like a baby bird taking everything someone's dropping in your mouth. Don't do it. Be vigilant. Be sober, be vigilant. Amen? I said be sober and be vigilant. So you need to understand, the words of man that originate in human wisdom, that's birthed on earth, that's just it's created by their flesh, right? Those words fall to the ground. Say fall to the ground. Now, what do I mean by it? It sounds spiritual, right? Let me just make it real easy for you. Another way, when we say words falling to the ground, it's another way of saying, your words are ineffective. They mean nothing to me. Amen? Now, this is why God tells us in 1 Corinthians 14:1, he says this, pursue love, desire spiritual gifts, especially to prophesy. I say especially. I'm no English major. But that means God is putting special emphasis on the gift of prophecy. He's saying, desire all the gifts of the Spirit that he's given to us, but especially that you're going to speak from my heart, not your own flesh. Are you getting it? Because only anointed words from heaven spoken on earth will change and shift the hearts of people on this earth. And that's what the people felt and sensed in Jesus' words. What I think I preached it last week, Mark chapter 1, 21 through 22. When Jesus spoke, the people said, wow, this guy that's speaking, he's different than the scribes. This one actually speaks as one who has authority. There's a difference. Why? Because he was speaking the heart of the Father being led by the Holy Spirit. Every Christian needs to, you need to press in. Starting today, if you haven't already, start today. Lord, I desire the gift of prophecy to flow through me. I desire to speak from your heart, not my own heart. Because if I'm speaking from my own heart, it's going to mess everything up. But when you speak from his heart, there's going to be results, positive results. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm telling you, this is an hour right now. We're in this hour. We need to press in. Lord, I desire to prophesy. That's the word for today, boys and girls. Yeah, you notice I said boys and girls. There's no other gender. There's two. Boys and girls, right? Now, just got to plug that in. Okay, here we go. Now, 1 Corinthians 2, 4 through 5, and it says this, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words, underlined it, of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Our faith needs to be in the power of God. Human wisdom's good for some things on this earth, but not for the kingdom of God. Amen. Paul knew that words that originated with human wisdom, they were weak and powerless to change the hearts of people. Heavenly, anointed words, they're not blanks, but they're effective bullets that always hit their target. We need the heart of God. We need to be led by the Holy Spirit. Anointed words, prophetic words, they cut to the heart like a sword. They're sharper than any two-edged sword, Hebrews 4:12. Now, there is a verse that I want to look at. Go to Luke 24. There is a verse here that is really interesting. I love it. That says when Jesus spoke, that people said that their hearts burned within them. Let's take a look at that. Luke 24, verses 28 through 32. When we speak, people's hearts should burn. There should be some spiritual heartburn going on. Because it's words from heaven, not on earth. Luke 24, 28 through 32. Then they drew near to the village where they were going. And he indicated that he would have gone farther, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as they sat at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, here it is, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scripture to us? Now, this account took place after Jesus' resurrection from the dead. This took place within the 40 days after Jesus was resurrected. Now, the Greek word burn there is interesting. Here's why. The Greek word burn means this, to be ignited or to be set on fire. Now, here's what's interesting about that. It's talking about the initial firing up stage of fire, not the burning away of something. It's the igniting of it. Think about this. You know what that's talking about? Revelation knowledge. Say revelation knowledge. Have you ever received a revelation from the Holy Spirit, and it literally felt like your spirit ignited on the inside of you? That's what happened here. That's what that did in our spirits burn. It's talking about receiving revelation from the Holy Spirit. This feeling or manifestation within their spirit or heart took place as Jesus, here's what, you got to catch this now or you'll miss it. Jesus was talking to them about the Word of God. Jesus was talking to you. You got to catch that because you'll just pass right over it if you read it. If you want, here's the point I'm trying to make. If you want to ignite Holy Ghost fire within the heart of a person, here's what you need to do. Talk about Jesus and talk about the written Word of God to them. That will ignite. That will give them spiritual heartburn. The anointing of the Holy Spirit, this is what you got to understand. Are you ready? The anointing of the Holy Spirit is always on the Word of God. You didn't hear me. Let me backtrack one more time. Right here we go. The anointing of the Holy Spirit, boys and girls, is always on the Word of God. It's great when the Holy Spirit, when the prophetic anointing's flowing, but at the moment, if you don't sense that there, guess what you can do? Talk to them about Jesus and the written Word of God, because those things are always anointed. And as you start speaking about the Word of God, about the Lord Jesus Christ, then the Holy Spirit begins, the prophetic anointing will begin to flow as you do that. And He will give you more things to talk about. The spiritual gifts will start to flow. A word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, all these things, the gift of discerning of spirits is going to start popping off. But you can ignite it by simply talking about Jesus and the written Word of God. Why? Why? Because the anointing's always on those things. Amen? So the starting point is Jesus and the Word of God. To open up, well, you could say it this way. When you start talking about Jesus, when you start speaking the Word of God, it's almost like you're opening up a spiritual portal in that place. Come on, somebody. It's like you're opening the valve to the anointing in that place, to the power of God. And it also, here's another cool fact I like. It also attracts angels and God's ministering spirits to jump in the middle of it and help in any way they can. You know, angels are at work all the time. When we're out and about and we're talking to people about Jesus, angels just aren't sitting there doing nothing. They're doing stuff. Amen? And that's also why I say it's like it's opening up a spiritual portal, like a, you could say it this way, like a Jacob's ladder between heaven and earth. The angels desire to look into the preaching of the gospel. Isn't that interesting? They actually desire. It's a mystery to them that they desire to look into. So you want more angelic activity in your life? Start talking about Jesus. Start talking about the Word of God to people. Amen? Amen. The prophetic words that Jesus spoke ministered life to people. Do you agree with that? Yes. And it shifted them from a hopelessness and depression to hope and faith. Yes. Don't you want to be that one that helps shift someone's heart into that positive direction? Come on, you can do that. You can do that. Why? Because we're members of the body of Christ. Like I said last week, Jesus never intended for his ministry to stop when he went up into heaven. On the contrary, he said, I'm sending you the Holy Ghost so all of you can do it. Amen. And we can get more accomplished on this earth because I'm going to my heavenly Father. Amen? Amen. When words are spoken under the unction and in inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the spirit man on the inside of a person, I like to say it this way, it does somersaults. It does somersaults when the anointing's attached to it. It gets them, and I had this written down, Jane had no idea what I was preaching about, but it says, it gets energized. Your spirit man gets energized. I even wrote this down. It gives a jump start to you. Amen. Jumper cables. Do you think the Holy Spirit's trying to get a point across today? That's why we call these services revival experiences. Because I want you to experience that jumper cable feeling in the spirit. I want you to be stirred up. Amen? Now listen to this. That's why 1 Corinthians 14:3 says this, that prophecy should manifest. When the gift of prophecy, when the Holy Spirit's giving you words to speak to someone, three things. There's three fruits that come from it. Are you ready for this? Edification, or a building up. An exhortation, that jump start, and comfort. Edification, exhortation, and comfort to people that hear and experience that anointing that's on those words. I got to say this, listen to this. If what you are hearing does not fit within those three things or those boundaries, it's either the flesh or the devil inspiring those words. Think about it. People need to hear this because people's lives have been ruined by false prophetic words. Amen. They have been ruined. I mean, people have gone on with plans. I'm not talking here. I'm just talking in general. People have gone on with things in their life, and it unleashed hell in their life. Why? Because it wasn't from the Lord. It was from hell. You know, here's what I'm saying. The devil's going to come to you, not with horns. He's going to come with some sugar on those words. He's going to come with some NutraSweet on it. He's going to come to you with that pop bottle that says diet on it. Oh. I'm not debating the taste. All I'm saying is, you following me, what I'm saying? So be very, very careful. Many times someone claims to give a prophecy, and the other person leaves hearing that feeling attacked, drained, and condemned. And that's not the Holy Spirit inspiring those words. If the Holy Spirit is inspiring it, the person should walk away feeling hope, built up, charged up, encouraged, comforted. Now, keep in mind, now say balance. There's always a balance, right? There are times the Holy Spirit will give a correction. And you know what? You know in your heart, you're doing something that's wrong and someone calls you out, is reading your mail with it. Now, you better pay attention to it and make the change. Make that change. Amen? You got to make that change. Say, I got to make that change. So don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, right? All right. So, but here's the thing. Keep in mind that there will always be, if the Holy Spirit gives a correction, there will always be a way out. There will always be hope attached to it. Condemnation is never attached to a word from the Holy Spirit. You know what condemnation is, right? Well, what does it mean when a building's condemned? It's no good for anything. You walk away feeling condemned. You feel like there's no hope. Throw it out. Amen? Here we go. I'm almost done. When heaven touches earth, I kind of said it a minute ago. Here we go. When heaven touches earth, all hell breaks loose to try and stop it in your personal life and in this corporate setting of a local church. We need to press in and be vigilant because our adversary, the devil, walks around as a roaring lion seeking whom he what? May. The word may means someone opened the door to the devil. All right? So Satan would love nothing more than to stop or hinder this awakening, outpouring, revival, whatever you want to call it, in a personal sense in your life and in a corporate sense in a local church. Amen? There will be times after we have an amazing service here, or if you're watching online, you live somewhere else. You'll go and there's an amazing service. The Holy Spirit moved in power. Man, you received a prophetic word that is, I mean, you're going to be the next president of the United States. I mean, you're just on cloud nine, baby. And then someone the next week comes and says, I had a week from hell. Welcome to the club. That's because the demons got stirred up. And they're going to try everything they can do to distract and influence you to get you back into a negative mode. That's what's going on. Now, listen to this. All warfare, by the way, someone needs to hear this. All spiritual warfare is not always from doing something wrong. It's from doing something right. All warfare is not from doing something wrong. It could be you're doing something right. This is where you got to be really in tune with your own heart. That's where you got to be like, all right, am I opening the door to the enemy? So demons and the entire kingdom of darkness, they're fearful of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And that's evident in the accounts when Jesus in his earthly ministry, right? I mean, Jesus would be walking by someone and someone would just fall on the ground, foaming at the mouth. But what, are you going to torment us before the time? Demons hate the anointing of the Holy Ghost. The anointing irritates the kingdom of darkness. The kingdom of darkness will do their best to sow division and strife to block the flow of that anointing. The key is this. Are you ready for this? Say, I'm listening. The key is this. The enemy's always going to try to do that, but don't help them out in the process. They're going to try. Just don't cooperate with them. Don't do it. Cut that flow off. Amen? Stop the division. Stop the gossip you're hearing. Walk in love. Walk in love toward God. In love toward God and love toward people to keep that anointing flowing. Well, here's what you got to do, and I want you to say this after me. Say, I need to protect the anointing on my life. That's what you need to do. You need to protect the anointing on your life. And you need to protect the anointing in your home church. Amen. Amen? The kingdom of darkness will do their best to stir up persecution everywhere you go. We need to press in like never before and say, I'm not giving up. No matter what persecution comes, we are soldiers for the Lord Jesus Christ. And friends, there is a reason he calls us soldiers. Soldiers are never liked by the enemy. But they're loved by the home country. Hello, somebody. We need to commit to live a holy life according to God's word. We need to live our lives to please him and him only. When you live your life to please him and him only, everything else is just going to fall right into place. Everything. I promise you. And my last point is when heaven, am I lying to you? No, I'm not lying. This is the last point. Trying to stay honest. When heaven touches earth, I just read that now, and for a split second I heard this. When heaven torches earth. Wow. I had to look at it again. Like I heard the word torch instead of touch. The Holy Ghost fire, amen? When heaven touches earth, there is a joy and a freedom in the presence of God. The chains of bondage and dead religion begin to fall off. Go to Psalm 16. Oh, I like that. When heaven torches earth. Maybe I should have titled it that. Psalm 16, 11. Hallelujah. Psalm 16, 11. Many of you know it well. It says, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. Not just some joy, fullness of joy. At your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Not just pleasure, pleasures. Isn't that good? When the presence of God is in a place, there is a freedom and a fullness of joy. Another verse says this, where the Spirit of the Lord is, or where the Spirit of the Lord is manifesting his presence, or where the Spirit of the Lord is allowed to move. there is liberty. When the manifest presence of God is in a place, you will begin to act like a child. Hello. You will begin to dance. You'll begin to shout. Your heart just melts. Anybody ever experienced that before? That you, maybe you're more of the shy kind of type, but man, you were in a service once where the presence of God was so strong that you literally felt like you were in the arms of your heavenly Father, and just like a little child. I'm not saying you're acting immature and doing stupid things in services. Hello, somebody. What I'm trying to say is that your heart is so softened that you're at that place of intimacy with Him. Amen? I mean, sure, dancing, singing, shouting, let it rip, right? Just make sure it fits in the flow of the service. You know, I'm a stickler with the flow of services. I like to maintain the flow. Like, if something happens where it just feels like the flow's cut off, I'm like, oh, no. Oh, no. No. Say, I got to maintain the flow. There's nothing worse for a leader when you feel that flow going and something happens and it's like, yeah, you know, yeah. Like, wow, it's like, wow, we built it up to this point now, man. You feel like you're about ready to levitate off this place, you know? And then something happens. And then it's like, okay, everyone open your Bibles. We're going to start preaching now. I'm just sharing the heart of a leader with you. That's, you know, because a leader has to protect the flow, right? The flow is very important. So the walls begin to fall in your life. The resistance toward the Holy Spirit is no longer there. You're being drawn by that intimacy. They begin to dissolve. Those walls begin to dissolve in your life. A boldness, a confidence rises up in you to boldly run to the throne of God. Amen. In other words, before that experience, before experiencing His presence, there was always a you were avoiding God. You were like Adam and Eve in the garden after the fall, right? You're trying to run away from God, which is totally foolish. It's like, God knows it anyways. God was right there when you did that sin. God was right there when it happened. Quit being stupid and just talk to Him about it. Right? Quit being stupid and talk to Him about it. That's all He's waiting for. Just acknowledge, God, I was stupid. I fell. I did something wrong. And He's right there ready to wrap His arms right back around you. Amen. Look at my last passage, Psalm 34, verses 7 and 8. Psalm 34, 7 and 8. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear or reverence Him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man or person who trusts in Him. The Hebrew word there that's translated taste literally means this: to discern, to perceive, to evaluate. Or you could say it this way: to recognize. You need to start recognizing and focusing on God and watch His presence just start to saturate every part of your life. When heaven touches earth, you are in the presence of God and you will know it. You'll be able to perceive it. You won't be left wondering, but there will be fruit to back it up. Your whole perception of life will begin to shift to a positive. There may even be unusual manifestations that occur in our gatherings here. Miracles, signs, and wonders. Just like in the Word, some people said when these things happen, they said, we've seen some strange things in this place. Why? Because people aren't familiar with it. They're about ready to get rocked by the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Amen? So always seek to uplift and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ and leave it up to God how He wants to manifest His presence. All you need to do is desire and press in with a pure heart. That's your job. Amen? This move of the Spirit of God will definitely take you out of your comfort zone. Get ready. There's your warning. Amen? Get ready. Things are going to happen. that it's going to blow your mind, and so it's going to take you out of that comfort zone. The glory of God, I feel the anointing saying this. Listen, the glory of God will begin to fill this place like never before. An outpouring of the Holy Spirit is going to take place like never before. The river from the throne room of heaven is going to arrive soon. Amen. Into this region, into this area, into this church, amen? Heaven will be torching earth. Heaven will be touching earth. So don't be afraid when it happens to jump in the river of God, and let's advance the kingdom of God by being faithful and obedient laborers together with him. Amen? Let's stand up in this place. Hallelujah. Prayer team, come on forward. A miracle happened already because I finished preaching at 11:48 a.m. Woo, it's begun already. Now maybe there's someone in this place. You have never made Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of your life. Or maybe you have a long time ago, and you said you have, but you never had that know-so experience. Or maybe you're backslidden, you've fallen away from him. Maybe you're the one that's running from him. And I was speaking directly to you today. If you've never made Jesus Lord of your life, or if you want to rededicate your life to him, come forward before you leave this building and pray with one of our prayer team members. Just tell someone about it. Tell someone. Amen? Amen. There's power in telling someone, in confessing it to another believer in the Lord. Now, if you've never received the Holy Spirit baptism, if you desire to operate in the gifts of the Spirit, you desire that power that Jesus said you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. If you want to receive that power, the Holy Ghost baptism, you want to learn more about it, come on down and talk to one of our prayer team members. They'll be more than happy to pray with you and to lead you in that second experience after salvation. Amen. Maybe you need a healing or prayer for anything else. We'll be here as long as you want. But I do want to make a couple announcements before I let you go. Everybody knows Dino over there. Amen. All right. So Jody's celebration.